time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
I hope everybody is doing well on this Wednesday. My ass hurts because Paul gave me a faulty chair
Whoa.
To sit in.
I thought it was going to get really weird for a second.
Yeah. Hey,
no, that did not happen. I did not give you a faulty chair.
Yes, you did. You knew the chair was broken. I sat in the chair, and the chair broke right outside of our offices.
This is so Generation Z, where you're making it all the fault of other people. And we millennials, we don't take kindly to that.
I was born in 1995. I think I'm a millennial,
Gen
right?
Gen Z to me. And you
what
come
is
in here. I don't know, but I'm going to say it's Gen Z, okay? Okay, it's for effect. Because you come in here and you act like I just decided to pull a chair out from underneath you. Here's the thing. I get into the office. It has been rearranged. And I sit down at a spot to do my work. I notice that one of the chairs is legitimately, it has been cut in half. As if it has been beheaded or something. And I move it off to the side. And I sit down and I go about my business. It is not my job, Vanessa, to focus on the broken chair when I get
in. I sat in the chair and now my tailbone hurts. And I honestly may have to, like, file for disability. I don't want to be dramatic.
Rule of working at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, check the chairs because they're probably broken. They're all broken. All the chairs here are broken.
Well, if you have a lawsuit that comes to your new apartment, and you're served one, just be aware because you knew the chair was broken.
No, I didn't.
Set Vanessa Richardson up? 713-780-ESPN.
Paul's going to need to maybe hire Rusty Harden?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well,
Thank you. That's a great transition. I'm proud of you.
I never assaulted anyone. I never harassed anyone. I never disrespected anyone.
But you did
and
set
I never forced you to sit in that chair.
Yeah. Well, it's great for a woman's confidence, especially a woman who might have gained 7 pounds over the last couple of months and whose ass has gotten a little bigger. To sit in a chair and have it break. It's wonderful.
Well, at least you didn't break Marilyn Monroe's dress like Kim Kardashian did with her
big old
Mondo butt.
Can I just say, I'm the woman on the show, and I didn't know that happened until Sean Mapes and Paul Gallant.
I did, and you know what? Good for Kim. You know, she broke the internet, and she broke history on top of that.
There you go. Congratulations to Kim Kardashian, a woman who really is just the definition of hard work.
Really?
Deshaun Watson, represented, of course, by Rusty Harden. And, hey, he's with the Cleveland Browns now, so it's the Browns' problem. He met with the media yesterday.
Finally spoke. It's been
I think it was March 25th, I believe.
So we were close to 3 months since we last heard from him, even though the Browns have had organized practice sessions where the media was in attendance for.
Quarterbacks are required to start meeting with the media, and that amplifies during training camp. But this was the first time since that initial meeting with the Cleveland media. I do want to start out with his opening statement. He didn't have to give one, but he did. And I thought that it was, although a little bit lengthy, I thought that it was telling. Here you go.
Happy to be a Cleveland Brown. This is going to be my home for the rest of my career. That's the plan. And everything's been going good. And I also want to say, I know that there's still legal proceedings still going on. So I know, you know, you guys have a lot of questions that you probably want to answer or won't ask us to and want to ask. Some of those I'll try my best to answer, but at the same time, I have to respect the process that is still going on, and I may not be able to answer those questions.
My home for the rest of my career. Listen, I know that's not the most important thing, but does that sound familiar? I mean, he said that so many times in Houston. So that did stand out to me.
Athletes lie?
The athletes lie.
Yes.
Hashtag athletes lie. Other than that, it was, I thought, really basic. You could tell that he had worked with Rusty Harden and his other lawyers, as well as probably Andrew Berry, on something just kind of bland that he can say that indicates, hey, I'm still not guilty, or so he says, but I can't answer all y'all's questions.
Yep. He did say in that first press conference he had back in March, someday I'll tell you guys everything that happened. Someday. But right now I can't.
What's he going to write, another book?
At least we did not hear that this time around. But, you know, in totality, if you really want to have another theme to come out of this press conference, just like the one in March, he kept on saying the same things. I never assaulted anyone. I never harassed anyone. I never disrespected anyone. And it just makes me wonder if he has like a flashcard that he brings up to the podium.
Right.
Wait, did I say it the right order? I never harassed or assaulted. Wait, no, I never assault I never disrespected anyone. I never harassed anyone. And wait, I said it the wrong order.
Do you want me to read it for you? I never assaulted anyone. I never harassed anyone. I never disrespected anyone. I never forced anyone to do anything.
I'm just imagining Deshaun Watson getting it all scrambled in his head. Like, he probably thought, like, you know what? The first time I say it, if I say assaulted, harassed, disrespected, I should say I never assaulted, I never disrespected, I never forced, I never harassed, because that would be alphabetical order.
He probably also tried to fit the word legendary in there, because he really liked... Do you guys remember when he was, like, obsessed with the word legendary?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be playing clips of this throughout the show. The other thing that, you know, and we probably knew this question would be asked at some point, but there was a reporter in Cleveland that asked why anybody should believe Deshaun Watson over the 20-some women that have accused him.
I understand that question, and I definitely respect it, but I feel like with this environment coming off the football field, it's hard to answer that question, especially without talking to anybody on my legal team. But at the same time, you know, I've been honest and I've been truthful about my stance, and that's, you know, I never forced anyone, I never assaulted anyone.
Ooh. That is the script again, to your point, Paul. I'm not going to lie. I didn't notice that until you said that.
He didn't say harassed or disrespected that time.
Yeah.
So Rusty's going to, you know, take a couple points off his grade for the press conference that he just gave right there. What the hell is he talking about? In this environment right here on the football field, I cannot answer that question. Okay, well, just say lawyer. At this point, can you just say lawyer? Can you just act like you're somebody that's being represented by Saul Goodman? Lawyer. 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 Because at this point, I mean, it's frustrating. I mean, I know that we all are hearing the same thing here in Houston. I imagine there are some people in Cleveland that are saying, well, hang on. We need to respect the process. He says that he should probably bring his legal team up here to answer those questions. And you know what? By golly, he's right. There's some people like that.
I think that Deshaun is in, and I have to be careful because I don't want to sound like I'm being overly empathetic to Deshaun Watson. He is, though, with the position he's in, he's at a point to where he has to probably, A, stick with what he's already said, and B, he has to be extremely careful, because if he does say, and we'll play some audio because he addressed, you know, eventually the having had no regrets, which is what he said under oath. If he starts backtracking and saying, well, actually, I do have regrets, or, you know, actually, maybe you should believe women, he's in a tough spot. That being said, I do think he and Rusty Harden and some of the other women that represent Deshaun could do a little bit better of a job of saying and being empathetic of the fact that the majority of the women who claim sexual assault, it actually did happen to. Now, whether or not you believe Deshaun is your business, you can have whatever opinion you want, but the majority of the women statistically who complain about sexual harassment, it's actually underreported. And I do think that at times, Rusty Harden and Deshaun could work on maybe their empathy of saying, look, I don't feel like I did anything wrong, but I do want to acknowledge that so many women have had this happen to them, that it's underreported, that it's a huge problem in society. And I haven't really gotten that vibe from either one of them.
Oh, no, they're so unapologetic about it, Vanessa. And I mean, he talked about empathy, but he's like, yeah, you know, the fans in Cleveland, the fans in Houston, my teammates. There's a lot of people who have been going through a lot. He didn't mention any of the alleged victims at one point, and I suppose that if he does, that's going to make him look guilty in a civil court. But I did think it was funny that he was like, yeah, there's a lot of people going through a lot of things right now, and, you know, I'm thinking about them. It's like, oh, but yeah, but the 26 alleged people that I harassed, the 66 people that I got massages from, you know, they're not really high on the empathy chart for me.
Right. No, I totally agree. And I think that they are going to have to answer to that at some point. Tony Busby did respond. This is via Jake Trotter of ESPN.com. We were sent the video of the press conference. We appreciate Cleveland and its support with regard to its new quarterback, Deshaun Watson. But given the volume of the credible cases filed, the lead detective's sworn testimony, the undisputed facts, and the heartbreak, pain, and havoc Watson has caused, we think it would be appropriate to see Deshaun Watson express some regret or remorse in the way he treated these women, some of which have sued, and many others haven't yet. I'll get back to that. Attending some sort of counseling would be at least one step forward. We have nothing else to say on the subject. Again, this is me overanalyzing things as a sports media member who's covered this for a year and 3 months or whatever it is. But when Busby says some of which haven't sued and many others haven't yet,
flex.
That 100% tells me that more are coming.
Yep. And it's going to keep on coming. And it's going to last a very long time. And I'm very curious as to how much longer Deshaun Watson is just going to deny, because that's what he's doing. I suppose that the next time that he will be asked about it, we'll hear some of the same answers, and we'll get to a point probably where we're tired of it. And then eventually this will entirely leave the news cycle until we actually figure out what Watson's suspension is going to be. But this is just the start. They have now put him in front of a microphone. They will continue to do it, and he will continue to be asked the same questions over and over and over again. And at what point are the NFL and the Browns going to say, oh, whoops? Because you think at some point they will. It's going to look bad. And, you know, if the idea of Colin Kaepernick being asked questions about how he feels about the United States of America was considered to be a distraction, well, how about, like, hey, we're not sure morally where this quarterback stands. That's a question that's being asked week in, week out. All these players are going to act as if they don't care at all. BS. There are some players that in that locker room that are going to be giving the side eye to him, and I don't think it's great for the entirety of the Browns organization. I'm not saying all of them are like, oh, I bet there's some that are like, yeah, but this is all BS. I believe Deshaun. I won a Super Bowl, but I wonder at what point the Browns look at this and think to themselves, can we get out of this?
It would be the most Browns thing ever if they couldn't. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, the Astros get lucky, the Cardinals get unlucky, but first, Paul's going to tell you about PIN.
The Passive Investor Network, baby. PassiveInvestor.net. Look, we're all looking to make money, right? Money, 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 money. Money!
Oh, Lord.
Well, one of the ways that you can do that is by talking with my friends at the Passive Investor Network, because these guys will help make you money through real estate investment, and they take all the trouble out of your hands. They'll walk you through a process with the PIN process, and they'll make a five-year plan that's personalized for you. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, Paul, I don't have enough money right now. Paul, this sounds like a Ponzi scheme. Paul, would you dive in on this? And look, I am someone that is in a credit card debt, but they sit down with you, and they actually explain, hey, listen, if you want to make some money, this is a way that you can do it. And that's why they're so great. They got all sorts of people, too, on a bus tour that's taking place on Saturday. They're going to walk you through how they scout out places in the Houston area that they feel like are all of a sudden going to become very fancy in the future. You want to get in on the ground floor of that, right? Well, the Passive Investor Network can do that for you. So you want to go to PassiveInvestor.net, enter promo code ESPN. Again, promo code ESPN at PassiveInvestor.net for their bus tour coming up this Saturday. It's the Passive Investor Network, baby. If you want to make money through real estate, they're the guys to do it with.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Warrior sound! Real. Let's go! Fun. Sports. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Kyle Tucker drives one.
How about it?
Deep to right center field, all the way back and gone! A four-run inning out of nowhere for the Astros. King Tuck in Texas puts the Astros in front.
All right, the Astros were down 3-0 in the eighth. They scored all four runs. Then Altuve and Brantley opened it with back-to-back hits. There was a grounder. Corey Seager tried to be cute. Altuve scores. Alvarez would score Brantley. That made it 3-2. And then what you just heard, Kyle Tucker, who took the batting gloves off, guys, by the way, took the batting gloves off.
Man, he's going back and forth.
Before the game, he had said that the batting gloves gave him good luck. Then he went like 0-for-3, takes the gloves off. Two-run homer, Astros win.
There's this saying in soccer that if a game goes a certain way, that's not necessarily how it was supposed to go. And a lot of managers will say afterwards, well, hang on.
Sean's laughing.
Is that a direct translation from Spanish?
Shut up. Let me get to the point. So you'll hear managers in soccer regularly say, we deserved this win, even when they lost. The Astros deserved to lose last night. They played, once again, just horribly. They can't hit with runners in scoring position. They regularly, the first three innings of the game, found themselves in situations with a runner on second base. Once with zero outs, once with one out. And they weren't able to take advantage of it. And it took Texas Ranger, expensive fancy man, Corey Seager, being a complete idiot, you know, just being classic South Oklahoma Rangers, to make this game go the Astros' way. They were lucky to win last night. I will take the win gladly, but the offense continues to really struggle. I mean, just 5 hits in total yesterday, and the amount of times where they had doubles, they had guys at second base, and they were unable to do anything with it, whether it was Michael Brantley or even Yuli Gurriel getting in on the action. It's driving me crazy. It really is, especially when you take a look at the back of the lineup. And okay, Aledmys Diaz made a couple of nice plays in the field, but I mean, you know, in a night without Jeremy Peña, who's injured, he's not good. Jason Castro's not good. Chaz McCormick, not good. And I don't know. I'm getting more and more frustrated by the day, Vanessa, with this offense.
It isn't a win that made me feel good. I'll say that. They faced the same issues, of course, with the Marlins series with runners stranded on base.
1-for-9.
Astros general manager James Click was on the Astros flagship this morning and said that the, quote, initial read is nothing severe on Jeremy Peña's thumb. So it's a left thumb injury. Click said they'll know more this morning. This is per Chandler Rome, by the way. Because Peña's flight was delayed, so it pushed the testing back a little bit. But it is good news that the initial read is nothing severe.
Well, this is from 10:11 a.m. from
Astros. Oh, you're going to one-up me. Oh.
The Astros have recalled J.J. Manischewitz.
Yes.
And placed Jeremy Peña on the 10-day IL.
Oh, son of a you-know-what.
Okay. Well, what I got from Chandler Rome at 9:36 a.m. was that it was nothing serious.
Fake news.
Okay. Oh, it sounds like we're blaming Chandler on this
one,
which I'm fine with.
Are you blaming Chandler Rome?
Yeah,
interesting.
Well, yeah, that's,
interesting.
I'm fine with that.
Okay, wow.
You love Chandler.
I don't know anything
like
about
Brian
Chandler.
I like Brian McTaggart. Shout out to Brian McTaggart.
Chandler got us the scoop on Bregman, who he had on his lineup to win the Mike Trout Fantasy Football
Ooh,
League.
That's true. That's true.
You win some, you lose some.
I don't know anything about most of the Astros beat writers. I just know that
Richard Justice lectured me in a
press box in front of everybody once. That was
who?
Richard Justice once lectured me in a press box in front of everybody. That
Brian
was
Brian McTaggart like Hank Williams Jr. So I just automatically like Brian.
Does that
McTaggart.
Mean that he is a Tea Party? Because Hank Williams Jr. You know, like remember when he got thrown off of the Monday Night Football broadcast? Listen, I'm just asking things about writers. I don't know anything. If they're interesting, if like they're real, like different off the air, hell yeah. I want baseball writers to be fun, to
Most
be wacky.
Most of them just like Bruce Springsteen or Jason Isbell and hate TV
and
people.
They laugh at Mike Trout.
Yeah, they laugh aggressively at Mike Trout.
You're in a fantasy baseball league?
Well,
holy
what
crap.
Mike Trout said was, I think there may need to be a new commissioner. Mike, you're so funny.
Well, nobody likes commissioners.
It wasn't a win.
Yes.
It wasn't a
Sorry,
win.
I'll stop.
That it's okay. That
Had
made
a little
me
too
feel
much coffee.
Very good about the Astros. So we'll see how their season progresses, but definitely the runners stranded on base. And Jeremy Peña on the 10-day IL. J.J. Mattejevic stepping up.
Mattejevic.
I actually know it's Mattejevic because he was with the Skeeters.
See, listen, now that Vanessa is like a professional broadcaster as part of the AT&T Sportsnet Southwest broadcast, she has to know the names.
I was terrified when I saw his name. I was like, oh, man, I'm really going to have to read this on air.
Wait, hang on. I gotta look this up.
J.J. Mattejevic.
Well, it's easy to hear it and repeat it, but I want to see this myself.
You wrote this in our notes earlier, and I want to give you a chance to expand on this. People seem scared to throw Alvarez something hittable. They should be.
Oh, yeah. So the first at-bat of the game, I thought that they were throwing at Yordan Alvarez, and I got a little triggered. I'm like, it is the battle for the silver boot. You know, things are always spicy. But they threw inside at him on his first two at-bats, and they hit him on the first one. But it has been cool to see how freaked out people are. He is killing everybody this June. Like, he has by far the best numbers in all of baseball in pretty much any measurable category when it comes to hitting. He's going to win player of the month, and the month's halfway done. So it's been awesome to watch because now teams are clearly scared of him. They did not want to throw him anything, and they're throwing way inside on him too. And I'm wondering if they're trying to scare him or to make him less comfortable out there. But there's a part of me that feels like, okay, you're going to throw inside. And I heard on the broadcast, like Blum was mentioning, you know, that's something that could bother a clubhouse. And I was like, hell yeah, that bothers me. Hey, Corey Seager or Marcus Semien, how about a little chin music? Okay, you got Jose Urquidy pitching, so it's not like you have the best guy out there as it is. He gets a ton of run support, but I would say that he's probably close to the weakest link in the Astros rotation. So someone throws inside on Yordan Alvarez, I want some pepper back at that guy. I want the next batter up. I want him on the ground. And it's one of those things that does make it a little bit frustrating. The one thing that I feel like would make the American League a little bit cooler would be if pitchers had to answer for their crimes. Like, if they hit somebody, maybe they should have to hit for the DH the next time that they bat.
Ooh.
But I do prefer DHs to pitchers.
Considering the most fun thing in baseball was a fantasy football league storyline, that probably wouldn't be a bad idea. So for as lucky as the Astros got, the Cardinals unlucky. A no-hitter broken up with two outs in the ninth. That was Miles Michaelis, I think. 129 pitches of excellence. And it was due to an error.
One pitch of failure.
This was really, really sad. And here's the thing. I grew up a Cubs fan, so I can't stand the Cardinals. But this made me pain for him.
Well, people in Houston hate the Cardinals.
About the Rangers, I dislike the Cardinals more than I dislike the Rangers.
But this made me feel for him as a person because I have something called empathy. You guys don't? Okay, cool.
He's a Cardinal. Cardinals fans are insufferable. You know what? There's this sanctimony about them, which makes them frustrating. It would be one thing if they were just fans of a successful
fan base.
Which
is funny because they're from St. Louis.
Boom, roasted.
I mean, St. Louis is like...
Well, it's like the worst place in the Midwest, which is saying something.
People like Jason Tatum come from there.
Nelly, Jason Tatum.
There actually was Murphy a poll talking about the Cardinals. There was a poll up in the middle of the Astros broadcast. I took a picture of it and it said, which team is the Astros' biggest rival, past or present? The Yankees were the current one at 46%. The Cardinals were in second from the 90s and 2000s at 26%. The Dodgers from the 80s to present are 21%. And the Rangers only got 7%. And it had me thinking a couple of different things. First off, we still hate the Cardinals, even though Albert Pujols can't hurt us anymore. And on top of that, we also don't really seem to care about the Rangers that much.
No.
And they're from Dallas, which is really saying something. And there's a part of me that wishes that this rivalry, the battle for the Silver Boot, was a little bit more
competitive. Oh, I wish it was 100%. That would be really fun because Dallas and Houston people... Listen, I moved here and I had no concept of the fact that Dallas and Houston people hated each other much. And
Dallas,
the things that I've heard...
Bougie.
Is Dallas is bougie and it's new money.
They don't act
Houston
real.
Houston is old money. And I will say the women in Dallas dress aggressively. Like, they really care about what they look
like. I thought you were
going to
go full Charles Barkley. I was going to say, no, that's San Antonio.
No, that's San Antonio, the ones that get big.
Oh, that's right.
Yo, they're eating all those churros over there.
When you start with, the women booty. In Dallas, I was like, is it going to be something only Vanessa can say?
I don't mind the women dressing aggressively in Dallas, but the thing is...
Well, they just have a lot of hairspray, and they're very bougie. And my friend Jane Slater that works for NFL Network and is from Dallas, she'll admit it. She'll say, like, Dallas girls are like this.
Well, there's this concept. It's the $30,000 millionaire, where they all look as best as they possibly can. The problem is, as someone who invests too much in his clothes and as a... I'm just a metrosexual. As someone who dresses far too well, a lot of people would think, Paul, he's a big Dallas guy. But no, because I am a man of the people. I just dress well.
Yeah.
A man of the people who dresses well.
Totally. The chest hair with all your Hawaiian shirts really does
Hell
it.
Yeah.
All right. If you have a lot of Hawaiian shirts in your home, listen to me. Because you have a home, you need to listen up. Thank you. Grab your phone. Our friends at TGS Insurance are going to blow your mind with all the savings you're going to have, and you don't even have to talk to an agent. They've built a new system. It instantly shops 36 carriers. You get a full quote in 15 seconds, and all you have to do is send a single text. So take out your phone, text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. Their system will ask for your address. You send it back, and you get the full quote. This company is legit. The savings, the real deal. Their online rating is almost perfect. And guys, their average customer from last year saved over $870. Again, nobody likes to shop for home insurance that you keep all your Hawaiian shirts in, but TGS makes it the easiest it's ever been. Text money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote and save big today.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
86 days until the start of the NFL regular season. Paulie G, what do you have for us as far as 86 jersey numbers?
Well, shout out to Sean Mapes behind the glass for the assist here, because when I think 86, I think of the late David Patton, who was a fantastic wide receiver for those 2001, 2002, 2003 Patriots, caught a touchdown pass in the Super Bowl. But the number 86 that you have to think of, even if he was a dirty player, Hines Ward. wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He is the Steeler way. I'm sure someone said at least 23 times on a broadcast. And the guy was tough as nails. What did he play? Quarterback at Georgia, right? Before he gets drafted into the NFL. And he had a damn good career with Pittsburgh. So Hines Ward is our 86.
He did. 86 days until the NFL regular season kicks off. Of course, right now we're in the midst of mini camps. We'll transition into training camp. We'll have those pointless preseason games that the veterans hate. And then we will have regular season. And man, oh man, I'm excited. We miss it when it's not here. Every day, we're focusing on a different NFL topic for this segment at 10:30, and we always want you guys' opinions. 713-780-ESPN.
You guys, girls.
Hey, shout out to the ladies.
Shout out to the robots and the lizard people, too. Just everybody.
Okay, you're being a little too inclusive.
Yeah.
I can tell you came from Seattle. We have our topic today is the AFC North, and the reason we're doing the AFC North is because, one, Deshaun Watson is now with the Cleveland Browns. We assume there's going to be a suspension of some sort. We don't know what it's going to be. It could be 4 games, could be 8 games, could be a full season. You never know. So with Deshaun presumably out for, let's say, at least half a season.
Okay.
Maybe even a full season.
Yeah.
How does that impact the AFC North? What brought this on was not only Deshaun Watson, but I saw some reports about Lamar Jackson this morning. So you have the Bengals, the Browns, the Steelers, and, of course, the Ravens.
Okay.
What do you guys say happens this year with the AFC North? Will it be more competitive? Is Joe Burrow, was that a fluke of a year? Or are they going to go back to possibly the AFC Championship and the Super Bowl?
I'm excited to see the Steelers in last place, personally. I mean, without Ben Roethlisberger, I suppose that they should be better because Roethlisberger was just so terrible last season. But I don't think Pittsburgh's going to be much of a player. I want to say Cincinnati, as I think Cincy's easier to root for. I don't know if anyone saw Joe Burrow's press conference yesterday where I think he brought up like Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice. So perhaps he is just as nerdy as me in addition to being impossibly cool at the same time. But Baltimore was so hurt last year, including with some banged up Lamar Jackson moments, to the point where now I'm like, okay, Baltimore has to win this division. And I feel like Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, if Lamar Jackson's healthy the full year, I feel like they should win the division probably by 2 games at least. Look, Cincinnati is a good team, and you can't sleep on Cleveland assuming they have Deshaun Watson at some point. They could be a thorn in someone's side. I'm assuming Watson maybe comes back at the end of the year. I don't know. I think Rappaport said 4 to 10 games yesterday. But Baltimore, to me, is the most complete team in that division, and I feel like they had a good draft too. So, yeah, I think the Ravens are going to do well. Postseason, I have no idea. It seems like the Lamar Jackson experience does not work in the postseason as well as it does in the regular season, but I think this is Baltimore's division to lose.
If the Ravens can stay healthy, there is no reason that they can't advance even to the AFC Championship. Last year, it's easy to forget, Marcus Peters, J.K. Dobbins, and Gus Edwards all had season-ending injuries. Wow, can we start that again? Hello. Season-ending injuries in training camp. So they had 3 key players that went down. Lamar wasn't able to stay healthy. All of that happened. If they can stay healthy, I think this is the Ravens' division to lose. I agree with you. What's intriguing about the Bengals is that, you know, when we had Ed Ogeron on our show, the one thing he said the Bengals needed was to protect his guy, Joe Burrow. They did that. They brought in 3 different guys for that offensive line. So if Joe Burrow can somehow stay upright because he was sacked so many times last year, maybe the Bengals can make another comeback. What do you think, Sean Mapes, behind the glass? AFC North chatter 86 days away.
Because you do think of that run being not fluky in like a major pejorative way, but it was surprising. And
pejorative.
They beat, yeah, how about that, UT? they did beat some, they beat teams that you thought were way better than them. And now they come back and you think naturally they're going to fall back. But like you said, they have improved their team. Like, indisputably, they are a better team this year than they are than they were last year. So I see no reason why they can't go 11 and 6. I always have to catch myself.
Right.
I don't see why they can't win double digit games.
There you go. What are the Steelers going to look like post Big Ben? Can T.J. Watt stay healthy? A lot of question marks there. But the one person that determines a lot of this, guys, as you know, is Deshaun Watson. If he's suspended for only 4 games, then maybe we're having a different conversation. I can't see it being less than a year simply because they suspended Calvin Ridley a year for gambling. But who knows? All right, 86 days away. We're certainly looking forward to it. And when you watch a game, see broadcasters.
Vanessa's just...
pre-game, post-game, and nothing gets me off more than our media nerd segment.
Wow. That's kind of weird that it gets you off, but that's
fine.
Oh,
hey, we have a call.
We do.
We have Ryan calling about Heinz Ward. This is interesting. What's up, Ryan?
Let's hear it, Ryan.
Hey, guys. Really enjoy the show. Y'all's perspective is extremely, it's fun and refreshing.
Thank you so much.
I wanted to add to the Heinz Ward playing quarterback at Georgia, his teammate, Antoine Randle L., if I don't remember correctly, was a quarterback at Indiana. So they had two quarterback turn wide receivers at the same time.
That's
pretty different.
Ryan,
enjoy the show.
That is a great call. Thank you, and you're 100% right. Antoine Randle was getting some love on the timeline the other day from IU football and Rhett Schmidt.
Oh, God. Now we got to see. It's
who is currently with NFL Network and is now going to be color commentator for the radio broadcast. He's going to do a great job. Shout out to Antoine Randle L.
We were going down the media nerd segment, and then all of a sudden Ryan calls in so Vanessa can be like, yeah, go Hoosiers.
Somebody talk about Mario Andretti next so I can talk about IndyCar.
Like the one random person that relates to Heinz Ward that could somehow come back to the Indiana Hoosiers. Ryan, you provided it. I think that was a plant.
It was. Ryan's my boo. Thank you, Ryan. All right, media nerd. I don't have a boo, guys. Come on. Media nerd segment. Listen, not many people care about the broadcasters, but this has been a carousel in the offseason. Drew Brees is officially out at NBC, and they replace vanilla with more vanilla. I'm not talking about white. I'm talking about boring.
Well,
Jason
he is white.
Garrett is officially in, and he's a ginger as the analyst.
Whoa.
Guys, do we think that Jason Garrett is going to... I didn't say ginger.
You called him a ginger. You called him the G word. Come on.
Yeah. Well,
they do have souls. Could you stop?
Do we think that Jason Garrett is going to be more exciting than Drew Brees? Because Drew Brees struggled.
Honestly, I think a wet blanket would be more exciting than Drew Brees. So, yeah, I actually think Garrett will be better, but I don't think it'll be much better. It's weird. They have a type at NBC... I mean, how is he going to be any different than Tony Dungy?
They do have a type, and it's like middle-aged, white, and semi-boring. And I say that with love because I like a lot of NBC's broadcasters, but this isn't like a huge upgrade as far as personality goes and as far as colorfulness goes.
I would say, and look, Tony Dungy's black, but Tony Dungy is boring. He is, and he's very sanctimonious with his boring. So now you're bringing in Jason Garrett. Like I just don't feel a lot of energy there. And look, I know a lot of people didn't like Rodney Harrison for his time in the NFL. He was a very dirty player himself, like Heinz Ward. But Rodney Harrison, at the very least, brings a little energy to the table and personality, which I like. No one wants to see more Chris Sims, so they're not going to move Chris Sims into that spot. No offense to Chris Sims, who I think is very good at the hot takes. But I feel like he and Dan Orlovsky should be on the same level playing field in terms of their media careers. And all of a sudden, Orlovsky being high up as he is, that's weird to me. But especially considering Sims was a better quarterback. But in this situation, I mean, yeah, what different are you getting with Jason Garrett? I just don't see a whole lot. Maybe someone who's more prepared, that's it.
Jason Garrett has the, and this is not why NBC did it, but he has the unintentional comedy going for him where he will do stuff, there's mannerism where we can laugh at him. More than nothing Drew Brees did was good or bad in any way. At least Jason Garrett has some train wreck potential.
Like almost dad humor type.
Humor, and he's the clapper.
Here's the thing about NBC compared to the other networks. The other networks are going out and they're going to pursue the Marshawn Lynches, the Richard Shermans. They're going to pursue some of the women that are edgier. NBC kind of keeps it flat and keeps it, I don't want to say boring, but to their credit, they stick with the professional broadcasters. They bring in Maria Taylor. And Maria Taylor, by the way, at like 36 years old, is the youngest person on NBC's football coverage. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. But Jason Garrett, to me, was an interesting choice.
The thing with Garrett that I don't understand, at the very least with Brees, who brought nothing to the table, the guy's one of the best quarterbacks we've seen over the last 20 years. With Garrett, is there anybody that liked Garrett that would be watching him and not saying, shut up, Garrett, you don't know a damn thing? Like, every Cowboy fan can't stand him. I imagine most Giants fans can't stand him. That's a massive proportion of fan bases who will largely, you know, of course, subject us, the people that don't care about those two teams, will be subjected to at least one Cowboys-Giants game, I'm sure, on NBC this year. Why are they, especially going so NFC East heavy, why are you going with somebody who is disliked by multiple fan bases in the NFC East? It'd be one thing if the guy like was successful. Garrett really didn't do anything other than just be there for a rather long period of time, except for he didn't win a Super Bowl, kind of like Mike McCarthy. Someone texted in, Garrett replaced by McCarthy on NBC. McCarthy
funny.
Makes sense. McCarthy has a little personality.
McCarthy
to him.
Does have personality and was able to convince people to get him hired, which I will always and forever respect. Apparently, it may be Carissa Thompson hosting instead of Kay Adams on the Amazon.
Yeah.
She will still do Fox. Paul's excited because Carissa recently got divorced.
I said nothing of the sort.
Yeah, you
didn't
Carissa
is a talented broadcaster.
Yes, she is.
Very talented.
Well, all I know is...
She's sarcastic. That
she
podcast
really,
she does with Aaron Andrews is funny.
I love their
See?
Podcast. If we could have Carissa Thompson on the show...
Let's have Carissa Thompson on the show.
Why don't you reach out to her?
How do I do that?
He's already reached out to her.
Shut up. No, I have it.
Coming
no
up on Vanessa and Gallant, J.J. Matijevic. If you don't know the name, you better the name.
Say it again.
Coming up, J.J. Matijevic. We're going to talk a little Astros and UT getting too soft. What? That's next.
ESPN. 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, J.J. Matijevic, get to know the name that so many of us are having a hard time pronouncing on the show.
J.J. Matijevic. Matijevic. I think it sounds better like that. It makes him sound like he's like a Slovenian hitter to be feared. He brings his bat up to the plate like straight up out of the Balkans with an Adidas tracksuit on. Matijevic.
I didn't watch Game of Thrones, so I don't know what any of that meant.
The
but
Balkans
Jeremy,
is not from Game of Thrones.
What's it from?
The Balkans, it's a part of the country. It's a part of the world.
Yeah, I have no
it's
idea.
It's a part of Europe.
I have no idea. Never heard of it.
King's Landing is set in the Balkans. It's in
Croatia. I don't
Croatia.
Know what that is.
Croatia?
Okay, I have heard of Croatia.
Yeah.
That's one. Is that near Turks and Caicos?
Oh, my God.
Okay, I'm not going to.
Oh, my God. You could not, honestly, you could not have been colder. I'm impressed.
No, I actually have.
Were you thinking Turkey? Because it's
oh
on the same
it's
hemisphere.
Close to Turkey, comparatively.
Which, is it a, what continent?
Your guess. Just guess.
I already said.
Oh, wait. Damn it. Okay.
Yeah, not good with geography. Jeremy Pena to the IL. We initially heard this morning James Click on the Astros flagship in an interview had said that he didn't think it was too serious and that it was a good sign, but he is going to go to the IL. I don't hate this move. I think that it's important just to make sure guys are fully healed. But your lineup, who would have thought that we would be saying this at this point, but the lineup needs Jeremy Pena.
I got to say, Jeremy Pena going to the IL, he's just another Carlos Correa. Heard all the time, can't count on him. This is ridiculous. Hey, remember when the Astros had Carlos Correa and he got hurt all the time? Why is Jeremy Pena getting hurt all the time?
Mad Dog joins the
713-280-377. Wait, hang on. 713-380-3776. Wait, did I get it right? I don't know. Shoot. My bad. Hey! That was my take.
1341 says, wait, more important news. Carissa Thompson is divorced. Yeah, that was Paul's
I did
Paul's
not bring that up.
Too.
I did not bring that up.
Well, 1341, how is it possible that Vanessa is that bad in geography?
It's a great
I just
question.
Literally never paid attention in geography. There was nothing less interesting to me than where things were.
So the Balkans are in South Africa.
Okay. It's great.
And, yeah. And, you know, China, it's right on the border of Botswana.
I've never heard of Botswana. I have heard of China.
Okay.
I know that there's a lot going on there. I know that they limit the amount of children you can have. And
okay.
I have been to Panda Express, but I don't know anything.
I'm pretty sure Panda Express is from California.
Yeah,
oh,
I think so.
That's wrong.
They appropriated. It's true. I agree. It is wrong. Those pandas that they cook in Panda Express, not cool.
Yeah.
Can't eat pandas anymore, guys.
I probably should have paid attention in geography, but it just wasn't my strong suit. So Jeremy Pena to the IL. Are you all concerned, not concerned, big deal, no big deal?
We'll see. I mean, they're so weird with the injuries, right? Like, on a serious note, you never know. When someone suffers an injury on this team, you think they're gone 5 days and they're gone for 2 years. Whether it's Justin Verlander or Lance McCullers, you know. With Verlander, okay, it was a Tommy John surgery. With McCullers, it's a Tommy John surgery. But right now, I mean, you got to wonder about just how long he could be out for because, all right, Aledmys Díaz can give you some good defense, but he's like your every single generic utility defender across baseball. He's a good defender, and at the plate, he is sorely lacking. So I'm surprised that we're seeing this with Peña, and I am a little concerned, not to say I'm expecting him to all of a sudden have the same issues that Carlos Correa did. That was tongue-in-cheek, but it's unfortunate. At the very least, you're not, you know, dealing with this with Correa right now and paying him a large contract. It's Jeremy Peña, who's young, and again, you just hope that the Astros aren't really cryptic about this for a couple of months, only for us to find out something bad happened.
My hope is that this is not obviously serious, and my hope is that this is more precautionary and that they're saying, look, you're a rookie, you're a young guy, but yeah, certainly hope that he doesn't turn out to be injury prone. Who would have thought at the beginning of the year, guys, that we would be even like remotely concerned that he could be on the IL? I mean, I think that says that he's had a really big impact on this team.
Yeah, I mean, shoot, where would you rank him? Say we're ranking just guys that we trust in the Astros lineup right now. I mean, Jordan's number one. But I mean,
maybe I trust Brantley.
Brantley, yeah. You know what? This year, throughout the season, Brantley has been probably the most consistent. Altuve has been hitting better, of course, of late. So in no particular order, you have to have top three: Jordan, Brantley, and Altuve. But I mean, Peña's right there, and he's not far behind at all. I especially with the way that he has been ever since the first couple of weeks, where it was clear he was very green and he was still getting his feet underneath him. He's easily one of your top four players at this point in time, which is concerning considering this is also a team that has, yes, Alex Bregman, yes, Yuli Gurriel, yes, Kyle Tucker. Tucker's been better of late, though. So
King Tuck has, yeah, he took those batting gloves off and really
improved. Can we call him King Tuck, though? Like, I'm sorry. I can't call him King Tuck.
That's the Apollo guys, I think, that gave him that nickname, right?
Yeah, I don't like it.
Jim Weber on Twitter.
Not a Marnarchist.
For this next segment, we bring in our resident UT alum and fan, Sean Mapes, who's behind the glass for us every day.
A real bad look.
The NCAA canceled a guy singing the national anthem at the College World Series because he flashed what? Not the middle finger. Not anything bad.
No Nazi
He flashed
salutes.
The horns down sign at the Women's College World Series. So his name is Zach, and he was supposed to, again, sing the national anthem, but because he did a little horns down action, the NCAA emailed him. There's a screenshot of it. Zach, due to the unsportsmanlike behavior shown after your performance at the Women's College World Series, we need to go a different direction. You are no longer scheduled to perform at Game 9 of the Men's College World Series, and this is from the Senior Project Coordinator. This is the softest thing that I think I've seen in a long time.
So Texas A&M is officially in the College World Series, if I'm not mistaken, right? This guy went to Texas A&M. I mean, this is an awesome fan being a fan. And it's so weird that of all the sin, the hand signs that you can throw up, because there are a ton of them
yeah,
here.
And you could do the Nazi sign. You could do the middle finger. You could do the...
I didn't mean those.
You could gesture to your... Yeah.
Yeah,
grab a crotch like Baker
Your
Mayfield.
Crotch? Yeah, absolutely.
You could do a suck it like a
right.
DX.
WWE. Yeah.
The horns down is what makes the NCAA mad?
I think those things would also get them mad.
Yeah,
but why horns down? And I want now. UT fans. Sean, you graduated from UT.
Yes.
What is the big deal?
Oh, I mean, it's the ultimate sign of disrespect.
Good
why?
Lord.
What?
It's an upside down hand signal.
What's so bad about the swastika? It's a Hindu symbol for peace. When you shift it, it changes its meaning.
Horns down gets somebody to
it's
not
the swastika. Yep.
Sing. Yeah, it's the same
no,
thing.
It's
absolutely.
Not. No, it is not.
Wow.
Not even close. It is unbelievable.
It's worse
that you guys do this. It really is.
Well, the thing is, we don't do this. The NCAA
That's
enforces
true.
It on our behalf.
Right. Okay, so how much money?
We don't even have to say a word.
Why
they know,
does UT,
they know to take care of the money maker.
Why
money
does UT cost? Have so much control over the NCAA? It's, is it money?
Yeah, it must be. There's bad going
Open
under the
third
table
eye.
To Mark Emmert and his perky hair. Look, the horns down is not that bad. And think about it. Okay, all of the Texas schools have their own like little hand gesture. It's a gang
Because they
sign.
All copied them. Yep.
Okay, calm down,
hey,
Sean.
Hey, Hook'em Horns is the most iconic thing in college football.
Well,
let's see if we can make our own.
Listen, I Sean, this isn't even about UT anymore. I just thought that this was America, okay? And if they're going to come for horns down, which could be someone accidentally doing this, they could have meant to do this.
Yeah,
and
they could have
like,
meant,
okay,
I love you, they could have meant
We're
going
to have to blur
on.
That on the Twitch.
1604 on the text line says that's the softest thing
it is.
I've ever heard.
And if we're going to get mad about the horns down, okay, well, how about, like, you know, gig'em? Isn't gig'em like, you know, the thumbs up? It's like shoving a thumb up a frog because, like, that's how you catch it. No, I'm serious. Like, I looked this up. Like,
no, it is. It's just funny.
You catch a frog by, like, shoving your thumb up it. I'm not sure where you shove the thumb up.
Whoa, hello.
If it's the cloaca or if it's the mouth. But that's what gig'em is. I mean, that's much more offensive than a horns down. By the way, Shasta, yeah, hey, one of his paws is missing with the UH gang sign. Where is PETA to step in and stop that? Because that's
PETA's
offensive.
Fake. PETA's fake.
You know what? Good point, Vanessa.
Guns
up from Texas Tech.
Especially given the recent events.
Gun violence.
Here's the thing. It's funny you say that because I would figure that anything involving a gun would be outlawed as well, but instead, the NCAA is not worried about gun symbols. They're worried about horns down because UT is soft and because they buy Mark Emmert.
I mean, it's hate speech.
It is just the most ridiculous thing. It's the softest thing.
I have friends that get so mad
arrested.
At it. It's so
yeah,
weird.
Why do you guys get so mad at horns down?
Oh, I mean, should I
explain?
We really want to know. Like, why is it so bad?
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, you don't, but you're
level-headed. Okay, now let's raise the curtain. I don't care.
But
no one I talk to cares about it. No.
Why the outrage online?
It's just a funny thing to get outraged at.
Oh, God.
It's just hilarious. The funniest thing is when it's a game that doesn't involve Texas. That's when people actually get a little bit
like
mad.
Here.
I also just think it's hilarious.
But it's you're being sarcastic here. I have friends who legitimately get
yeah,
mad
that's
at
what
it.
We're...
And I don't get it. Personally, I don't get it. Like, wow, they made an upside-down version of your hand signal. Like, ooh. Like, why is that such a blatant sign of disrespect?
Somebody on Twitter says, Warren in H-Town, the horns is a UT trademark. Horns down violates the trademark. That's not it.
Come on, Warren.
That's not it.
No,
we love you, Warren. And
it's the opposite. They made their own twist on it.
It's
we
ridiculous.
Appreciate you listening, but that's not it. All right,
I appreciate it.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant.
They call you
a
Cougar High.
We gotta go to break. Coming
that's
up on Vanessa
offensive.
And Gallant, the worst moments of the Deshaun Watson press conference. That's coming up next.
ESPN 97.5.